want to start in the book of Zechariah. And we're going to talk about giving me oil, Lord. Where do we get access to that? And so, for starters, I want to give us our opening text in Scripture. And we're going to kind of go into the Old Testament and New Testament, but a lot in Zechariah and a lot in Matthew. Zechariah chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. The Lord has been sore displeased with your fathers. Therefore say unto you, thus says the Lord of hosts, turn you unto me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will turn to you, says the Lord of hosts. Be you not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, turn you now from your evil ways and from your evil doings. But they did not hear nor hearken unto me, says the Lord. So in this text, this beginning part of the chapter, God's calling for repentance. And he's calling that from the church itself. So God's almighty power and his sovereign dominion engages us and encourages sinners to repent and turn to him. It's desirable to have the Lord of hosts as our friend, and it's dreadful to have him as our enemy, as many will find in the coming days. I do believe we are nearing the end of time here where the Lord will be returning. But we need to review what is past, and we observe the message of God that was sent to the prophets and to the apostles and disciples. And we need to turn from our evil ways and our evil doings. And we need to leave our sins and approach him and live for him. And so how do we do that is really the key. We've accepted Christ. We repented when we accepted Christ, but how do we have access to live freely in him? And so that's what we're going to talk about. And Jesse actually taught on this, I want to say, on Easter with the kids, which was the parable of the 10 virgins. Was that correct? So you taught on that. And there's a lot of wisdom that is shared during that time when you can think about yourself and think about others around you, your loved ones. And so we're going to go through verse by verse, and then I'm going to share with you back in the book of Zechariah what that oil really is. So let's turn over. You guys turn over to the book of Matthew, chapter 25. And we're going to be in verses 1 through 13. I do not have enough room up here. Maybe I should have used a lectern. So, in chapter 25, the parable of 10 virgins. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps. So the lamps are a representation of the light of Christ in believers. And they went forth to meet the bridegroom. So the bridegroom, obviously, is Christ. And five of them were wise, and five were foolish. And the five that were foolish is a representation of really modern Christianity. There's kind of a sense of Christ there, but is Christ really a part of them, or is it just religion? So they who were foolish took their lamps. Excuse me. Five of them were wise, and five were foolish. They who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. So when we're talking about the oil, we're actually talking about the Holy Spirit. So the five that took no oil with them, they were beginning to live outside the domain of the Holy Spirit. They're living in their works and the things that man does in life. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And taking that means that they had a constant flow of the Holy Spirit with their hearts and lives, which can only come and be maintained by our faith in Christ. So Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and of death. So you can live in the Spirit, or you can live outside of the Holy Spirit. You live outside of the Holy Spirit, you're living in man's domain, where Satan has access to you. If you live in the Spirit, you have direct communion with God, and the Holy Spirit is directing your steps each and every way. So while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and they slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out and meet him." That's a reflection of the rapture of the church. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. But without the oil, the trimming was useless because it was just religious activity without the Holy Spirit. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out." At that point, it was too late. The rapture of the church had happened. It's going to happen. And without the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is living inside of us when we accepted Christ, it's too late. You can't go back. You can't turn it back. God has come, and he has come to take his bridegroom away. But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be enough for us and you, but you rather to them who sell and buy for yourselves." This gives you an example, and I'm using a parallel. This is from a Jimmy Swaggart Bible, but some of his commentary. But I like what he said here, and it's proclaims that the truth that spiritual energy cannot be derived from others. You can't buy the Holy Spirit. You can't access the Holy Spirit. You can't get the Holy Spirit through man. You can't get it through a church. You can't get it from your friends. You can't get it from your child. You have to go directly to God, and you have to seek him and let the Holy Spirit flow through you with a humble heart. Open, ask God to fill you, and he will fill you. The Holy Spirit will fill you. I promise you. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they who were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. So there's going to come a time, that's what Hebrews 3:15 says, today, if you will hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. So the door was shut. That means they couldn't enter in. Afterward came also the other virgins saying, "Lord, Lord, open the door to us." And the Lord would not open it. He said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not." See, there's a lot of people who claim to know Christ, but don't live for him. They just come to church. They do their thing. They serve their hour of the week. Think about you guys and think about yourself. What else are you doing to proclaim Christ to others? Are you being a light to the world, or are you just kind of going through the motions? "Watch therefore, for you neither know that the day nor the hour where the Son of Man cometh." Because our lives, we need to live that Jesus is going to come today. And you all have loved ones that you know and are not saved. And time is drawing near. And they will be left behind. I can promise you that. And so I told you guys about the past week, and you know what's. I was telling my wife the other day a story, and I'm sorry if I'm not speaking fluently here, but after having that event when I was working out with the vision and things, you know, part of that vision was just that, you know, God is saying my son is going to return. And he's going to be staying there. And so the other day I was sitting there, and I tried to lead my father-in-law to Christ years ago, and it really didn't go so hot. You know, just didn't go so well. You know, but the other day I was just standing outside, and I didn't press God on him or Christ on him. But he just asked, he said, "Well, what's going on with church? You know, like, you know, hey, I heard your dad's going on vacation. What are you going to do?" You know, and I could have just said, "Oh, you know, pulpit will be filled. That's it." You know, and change the subject. But I took the opportunity, and I didn't ram it down his throat, but I just shared with him. I took it as an opportunity that maybe God is, I can make a little bit of access point here to start bringing it full circle around, you know. And I had prayed that maybe Caitlin might be the difference to them, that where they might come to know Christ. And I've already seen a little change in their heart the last 2 weeks. Would you agree, Jen? So I just shared with him. I shared with him, you know, what I was going to be teaching about. He talked about how the time, you know, about the 10 virgins and how I just shared the story that I was going to share with you guys today. And then I shared a little bit about the vision itself. And that was it. That was enough. But I didn't stay muzzled, and in the past I would have. And so I challenge you guys to get out of your comfort zone. It's okay. You don't have to be obnoxious about it, but the love of God is in you. And if you approach somebody on the basis of love, let their hearts decide. If you don't share it with them, then you don't give them that opportunity. And so you guys, I challenge you, when you come in contact with somebody, love on them. Be that light. And that's where we're going with this. So we talked about the oil, and we talked about the five virgins, the five who had the oil, and the five who didn't. And so what is that oil? And there's actually a story, and my dad shared this with me, which was really cool. It's actually in the book of Zechariah. And so in chapter 4 of Zechariah, Zechariah is given a vision. So he's a prophet of old. In chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, "And the angel who talked with me came again and waked me as a man who was wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof, and the two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side of it. So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? But what are these?" I didn't know. I had to do a little bit of research. Dad shared a little bit, like a little teaser with me. And then it was up to me to start digging in to find out what this stuff was. What is all this? These parables and these visions and things. And so the candlestick in this, in verse 2, is Christ. So Christ is the head candlestick. And the bowl itself is the Holy Spirit. And so Christ and what he did at the cross makes it possible for us to have an uninterrupted supply of the Holy Spirit for us, the believer. And so you have the candlestick of Christ. You have the bowl, which is Holy Spirit. You have the seven lamps, which is God's word. And God's word, when you read it and your heart is right, it's illuminated. It comes alive. It's called the bread of life. And when you're right, you know it. And these words come off the page. They jump out at you. They hit you between the eyes. And you're like, man, that was good stuff right there. That was good stuff. The seven pipes represents the total supply of the Holy Spirit to the believer. So you have the lamp that is illuminating the word of God, right? So we are the light of the world. And then you have these olive trees. And that was the coolest part, is you have the candlestick, which is Christ, the center. Then you have this bowl. And then you have the other seven candles that are lit up. And then these pipes that are flowing to it with two trees on the side. And some of the interpretations were like, oh, those are the prophets of old. But I really liked what I had found, which was that the olive trees, so you have oil. Where does oil come from? You have, like, if olive trees, you have olive oil, right? So that is the source of oil that is feeding into it. So what is that source? What is it that we draw to? Do you guys have a guess? Do you have any idea what it might be? It's the Word of God. That is the endless supply of oil that we all need. That the Word of God feeds into it. And then you have the Holy Spirit that gives you direct access to everything, just total supply, boom, constantly feeding you. And what are you doing? You're lighting up. You're lighting up to the world, and you're pointing all to the main candlestick, Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? Would you just picture that vision, and you see the olive trees, and they're feeding in. It's a constant supply of oil. That's the Word of God. That's the way it's supposed to be in your life. The Word of God comes alive. It's a constant. It's constantly over in your forefront, in your eyes, when you think about, what should I do? Where do I go? Don't make a decision by yourself. Don't make it as a man. Read the Word of God. Know what God says for you to do. He'll direct your steps and your pathway, I promise you. And because of that, there's going, you know, if you guys will do this, because this is, the Holy Spirit is looking to outpour itself, and Pastor talked about it last week on his message, and he was talking about, you know, the end times, and the Holy Spirit wants to flow again, and he's going to. I guarantee you, he's seeking who he can use as an instrument to reach as many people as he can before Christ comes back. And that trumpet sounds, it's too late. You can't, when that trumpet sounds, it's too late. You cannot minister to your loved ones again. You can't minister to your friends, coworkers, or anything like that. And so last, I want to just turn over, and I'm just going to close with this. And I hope you guys enjoyed this, but I feel like I was given part of this, and I really bounced around on a bunch of different things to study and to share with you, and some of it just was just me just trying to take the easy way out. But putting this together, I was reminded of Ezekiel chapter 33, and it's the story of the watchman. And maybe I'm the watchman or maybe I'm not. You know, I know Pastor definitely is. But it says in Ezekiel chapter 33, it says, "Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people, and saying to them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people in the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he sees the sword come upon the land, he blows the trumpet and he warns the people. Then whosoever hears the sound of the trumpet and takes not the warning, if the sword come and takes him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took no warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he who takes warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, if the sword come on, take any person from among them, he is taken away in his own iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So, you, O son of man, I have set you a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto you, O wicked man, you shall surely die, if you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked men shall die in their iniquity, but his blood will I require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul." And that's the last part. You all can be watchmen. You can be watchmen to your little sphere of influence and to people who come in contact. Steve, you have people that you have direct contact. Your brother is someone very close to you. Don't muzzle your mouth. Just listen for opportunities. If you listen ever so softly, the Holy Spirit say, now's the time, share a little bit. You may not go the full mile to have a salvation call with the person, but I promise you, if you give them a little bit and a little bit, eventually someone else, may not be you that leads them to Christ, it may be someone else, but you have started them on that path, and the blood won't be on your hands because you would have shared with him. So thanks for listening, guys. Let's close and dismiss. So, Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and I thank you, Lord, for allowing me to share what you had for me in this church, Lord. I ask, Lord Jesus, that you be with us as we spend the rest of our day today with our loved ones and our family, Lord, in the coming week ahead. And I pray, Lord, that whatever this church body got out of this message today, that it does make an impress, and that they do seek to use the Word of God, the total supply of oil, and let the Holy Spirit lead them to share to a lost and dying world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.